If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But we'd be looking at each other going, we are making memories. Like, these kids are so always going to remember this.
The best memories just seem like they happen to pop up in the middle of daily life.
Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. You can find out more about the podcast at cultivatingthelovely.com, in our Yellow Brick Road membership community at patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely, and in our Facebook group. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram, where you can find me at Mackenzie Coppa. That's MackenzieKoppa. Ladies, it is the last week of season 4 of the podcast. Can you believe we've made it through a whole nother year? It's just been amazing to see the community that has grown up around this podcast and all of the ways that you ladies reach out to me. I love interacting with you. And for this episode, I wanted to bring on one of my real life friends again, Shell Bruzis, who's actually going to be on the show a few times throughout this season talking about different things. But we just wanted to do like a breakdown of summer, a fun episode where we're talking about our favorite things and what we think about summer and how this year has gone. So that's sort of what this episode is about. But I just wanted to send you a big thank you. I wanted to tell all of you who listen to this show faithfully and tell your friends about it and post about it, that it means the world to me that you do that. You guys are really the reason why this show continues. We're bringing a lot of fun new things to CTL and the Patreon community and everything in the month of August. Some of it has already started, if you didn't know. We've got this great core group of Patreon ladies that are meeting together every single morning. You guys, we have the morning show back. And I was a little worried that it would be really stressful for me and take a lot out of me, but it's turned out that it has been so much fun. The lives have actually gone much longer than I expected them to. It's basically been like a webinar every morning as we have been working through everything that we can do to stay sane in the back to school season. So this first week that we just did was all about our calendar and routines and getting things set up so they can move smoothly into the new school year. But then this week, we have been working on our meal planning, which is such a huge thing to be getting off of our list of things to do. We are using Plan to Eat. You guys know you can get that 60-day free trial if you go to plantoeat.com/lovely. 60 days. We are planning all the way through the first month of the school year. So we have all of our meal plans ready to go, and I'm walking everyone step by step through it. We're going to be talking about our working spaces, like your homework station and all of that, and how to get things set up. And then the final week is just about our own personal sanity for the school year. It's going so well, and I am so enjoying being able to chat with everyone. If you want to be a part of that, you should come over and join us in Patreon, patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely. You can get in on the daily morning show for just $3 a month. That's like nothing. So you could sacrifice one cup of coffee, less than a cup of coffee, and come join us in Patreon, and we would love to have you be a part of that community. But we also have a lot going on Instagram. I love connecting with you guys there at Mackenzie Coppa. There's always so much fun going on in the stories and talking with you all. And I am doing a ton of work this week for our rebrand that is coming next week. I'm so excited about it. So that's kind of what's on the docket, what's been going on. I'm so grateful to all of you ladies for hanging with me for 4 years of this show. There are so many who've been with me from the very beginning. It's amazing to me when you guys come out of the woodwork and talk about the old Periscope days and everything. It's just so much fun. All right, but right now, let's get into this fun episode with Shell, where we just talk about summer and wrapping up summer. Shell, welcome back.
Hey, friend. Thanks for having me back.
I am so excited to have you on the show. And really, it's just the first of many times this season that you're going to join me, which thrills me.
Aw, well, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it too.
I had such a great response from the last episode that we did. And I always just think it's more fun. And I hear this from listeners too, that when it's someone I know in real life, there's just a different rapport in the way that we talk. And it's really fun for people to listen to. I mean, I know some of my favorite podcasts, like the Big Boo Cast, that they're just good friends talking and laughing together. And you really feel like you're just a fly on the wall to somebody's discussion, which I think is super enjoyable.
So. Yeah, that's the best. And that's what it becomes such less a scary thing to think about. Like, it's not really as much of a podcast, because that really intimidates me. If I can think of it as more of a conversation with you, then I'm good.
Yeah. So we're just like hanging out and we get to chit chat. And I think that's fun. Yeah. I talked about that on Instagram tonight. I did a quick story and I was like, I get to hang out with my friend and talk for an hour, and it's my job. And I love that.
There's nothing better than that.
There really isn't. And this is one of those really fun episodes. It's actually the last episode of season four, you guys. I can't believe it. We are about to embark on season five. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But we thought for the end of the season, kind of we're starting to wrap up summer. There's still a little bit left, but we just thought it would be a fun time to do a favorites episode. I've done them with a few other people, especially Rebecca, but Shell has so many fun things to say and fun, you know, suggestions and whatnot. I thought it would be really fun to do one with her, and it'd just be a nice way to kind of cap off the season. So that's what we're doing tonight.
Yippee.
Yes. So we're going to do like all of our kind of favorite things that we have done this summer, from books to shows to, I'm even going to say a couple of things like I'm looking forward to the end of the summer.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Listening and our menu and some favorite finds and thoughts on summer. And so I think it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we've had, I mean, Shell and I have gotten to go out to the lake a few times lately, which has been amazing.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of discussions about that in and of itself, like thoughts on summer, because we've had a pretty busy summer, each of us.
Yes.
And you especially, like, you are so hospitable. She's a two, you guys, on the Enneagram. You're so hospitable. And it was like, even when you thought you were going to have these downtimes, you ended up super busy.
Yeah, this has been my summer of people, and I loved it. Like, it's been the best. And yeah, I wouldn't trade it for anything else. It literally has been the best summer.
And
give me all the people.
I know, we really, Shell and I have really gotten to sink into our extrovertedness this summer, I feel like. Like, we've been able to take advantage of a lot of, like, spontaneous getting together.
Yes. It's doing life together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, we live close enough where we can be like, oh, let's just do this thing right now. Or I'll just take your kids, or I'll just, you know, keep them for dinner and then we'll get back, or let's go to the lake. Or, and I've loved, while summer has been hard for me just because trying to juggle so much and work and the stress of the divorce and like all of those things all at the same time, it's also like I've been feeling like my friends have been made even more into family this summer. And that's just been so sweet. And I've loved all the times that we've been able to get away. And especially like we were talking about at the lake, there's just something about being at the lake that is like good for the soul.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Healing.
Relaxing. Just like all the different sensations, the sound of the water and the way your kids play, that's different from when they're at like a pool. And it's just been so soul nourishing both times.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's exactly what we have both needed in the midst of some really busy, lots of busyness. And for you, of course, it's been a lot of work. And for me, it's just been a lot of people. So
Which is a lot of work.
Well,
you're constantly hosting people.
Yeah.
So I just think we've both, I think, enjoyed like something about being at the lake. It's especially because you drive a little bit away. You have to take that intentional pause.
Yeah. It's like a getaway in a day. It really is.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
And the kids are so happy, and just seeing them in the water, and it's the best.
It was so fun. And just getting to take those pictures and stuff, even like we talked about it's important for us to get pictures of our kids with their friends and
right.
and be able to see those differences as they change from year to year and build those memories.
Yeah.
I think we've had some like crazy memory things too, where we have ended up at your house with a few friends on these nights where we had these crazy storms yeah. and they were just insane, but we'd be looking at each other going, we are making memories. Like these kids are so always going to remember this.
The best memories just seem like they happen to pop up in the middle of daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Unplanned, spontaneous, more fun than if you were to plan something in advance and spend a lot of money on it.
Yeah, totally. And they were such unexpected things too. Like it wasn't even forecasted that we were supposed to have storms.
Right.
When they happened.
Yeah, it was a total surprise.
Yeah. What is going on? But it was so much fun. It was just one of those things I feel like will forever be cemented.
I agree. And I think our kids will all be able to say, and I can even say this, that it was the most amazing lightning storm I have ever seen in my entire life. And we should have got together. It was really fun.
Yeah. It was seriously amazing. And it was so fun because, I mean, you guys, you have to understand like where Shell lives overlooks the river and like the bluff and like this whole area where you could just see everything and the entire lightning storm. We could sit out there on the hill. And I have to say that it was so funny to see all the different personalities emerge like in the stress of a storm because everybody handled it differently, you know.
Yes.
Some people were incredibly nervous and thinking of everything that could go wrong, and then some people were just like taking advantage of it and let's be out here and soak up every last second of it. And, like it was just so funny to see how everybody handled it differently.
It was. Yeah. It was.
It was a memory for sure.
Yeah. So that's just kind of like we've really gotten to enjoy summer as friends and build memories and get away, which has been so nice. But we also have been trying to keep each other accountable to resting. Like you've had so many people over, you've had to take those intentional rests, even cancel some plans sometimes, and like make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful for the accountability because it's just so much nicer to not feel like, you know, to have a friend that's looking out for you that can check in on those things and then trying to be disciplined enough to do it yourself. So I appreciate that a lot. I think that for me, the resting is such an important part of being able to continue to have all the people and to host and to have this busy full life. It's preventative.
Yeah.
If I want to continue to have like all this fun with all the people, then I got to keep resting. So,
yeah. Well, I think we both have noticed as we've gotten a little bit older too, that as like when you're younger, you can push harder for longer. Yeah. And then you get to your mid and later 30s and it's like, oh no, like physically can't do it. I literally am going to crash and burn if I don't take care of myself.
Yeah. I know. Remember when we were young, like we could literally go for days without sleep and feel no effect from it. Like, and unfortunately in your 30s that you don't have that privilege anymore.
No.
We haven't experienced that.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah. And it's vital. It's like I'm not only just tired. It makes me not as good of a mom. You know, it's like I have to make sure I'm keeping on top of those things or finding ways to make up for it because I get, what's the sleep deprived version of hangry. Whatever that is.
You think we should have a word for that by now.
So let's dive in here though to our favorites, because I know we've both had a few of them at least in all these different categories. So books, what have you been reading?
Oh, a lot of reading. And reading is just one of those things for me that I know is a really important part of like soul care, self-care for me. I need to be reading to be in a healthy place. So the summer has been like so fun and full of so much reading. I think, and I've rediscovered fiction because it's been a while since I know, back to reading fiction again. And summer's such a great time for that too, I feel like. So
yeah.
My favorite read this summer for fiction is The Language of Flowers.
I think I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. Oh, so, so, so good. I love,
Who is
love
it that by? One. Were you going to say?
Oh, Vanessa Diffenbaugh is the name of the author. But I like highly recommend it. 5 stars. Just an incredible story.
I remember you. That was like, did you read that at the beginning of the summer?
Yes. Okay. Writing is amazing.
That's awesome. Cause I've read this summer, but not nearly as much as I wanted to, although I have been trying to get into more fiction as well.
Yeah.
How many fiction books have you read this summer? Or books?
I don't know. I guess, I don't even know, but I've lost count. I mean, I didn't count. Another book that I read that was fiction this summer that I really enjoyed too was I Capture the Castle.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. And then I'm reading lots of nonfiction too. And I guess I was listening to Belgravia on Audible. Yeah.
That's
and
right.
That was, I didn't get very far into it yet, but I love listening as well as reading books.
Yeah. And I'm really interested to see how far you get into Belgravia, because I tried reading it.
Yeah.
It was so slow and just ended up giving up on it. I feel like this year, more than maybe any other year, I've given up on more books than I have in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it probably has more to do with me than the books.
Yeah.
I'm just like in this season where it's like got to sweep me away, or
yes,
I just can't get into it. So
yeah. But yeah. you have finished some fiction this summer, I think, right?
A little bit. Yeah, I do. Well, I've only read a couple, but I hope I didn't talk about this on the last podcast I did like this, but I read Waiting for Tom Hanks, which was really cute. And it was when I didn't have my kids for a weekend or something. And so I read the whole thing in like a day. And that was super fun to just kind of give myself a break. And it was a total, it's like the book is actually based on rom-coms. It's about rom-coms and I love rom-coms.
Yeah.
So it was, it was just a really fun read. And then, but most recently I read The Gown, which I love a really good historical fiction novel, like where you can tell they've done their research. It was so interesting to me because, of course, I started Googling because you're going, okay, there are parts of the story that are real. You know, they are talking about Queen Elizabeth's gown. I mean, she was princess at the time, but when she was married, that gown was actually made and it was actually made by this designer. And, you know, so who in this story is real and who isn't? And so I started Googling, and because one of them becomes like this famous artist. And so you're going, is this really a famous artist? Like, can I see her work? And then you find out like all these people have been Googling the same thing, wondering like,
wow.
And then wasn't. but she did such a good job of creating this character that you think like, this has got to be a real person. So that was really fun.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. That's on my list. I can't wait to read it. And then the one I'm reading right now that's so good, that's also historical fiction, is Becoming Mrs. Lewis.
Yeah.
By Patty Callahan. And
which is about C.S. Lewis's wife.
Yeah, Joy. Anyhow, one of the parts in the book that I have just loved so much, that I keep thinking about almost on a daily basis, really, is she's talking with her friend just about their relationship with God. And her friend just is asking her questions like, and she just said, like, what is Christianity to you? And she said that it's a constant unfolding, and unfolding to new life. And I just love that so much. So that's something that has stuck with me from the book. And I'm about halfway through, and she's just met C.S. Lewis, and they're really good friends. They've been writing to each other, and it's just beautifully written. I'm so excited to finish it, but only about halfway through so far.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good one. I'm going to need to put that on my list.
I think so.
Yeah, that sounds good. I have a lot of nonfiction that I'm mostly cramming for the podcast because I've just gotten stacks upon stacks of books. And so it's a little bit of like filtering out, well, what are we actually going to have on the show and what are we not? But there's a few that I'm really excited about. I'm reading Do Less, and I'm not going to have Kate Northrup on the podcast.
Okay.
But I'm really enjoying the book because it's talking about our cycles and how a way that we don't really view our cycles in our culture, like we just don't know enough about them. And so that's been super interesting. And being able to talk about it with a lot of the Patreon ladies has been interesting too.
Yeah, that's so fun.
Yeah. And we've talked about that a lot, how just impactful that information is and everything.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, out of my stack of books, there's so many, and I'm sure they're all going to be good, but I have three that I've like started reading or I'm about to start reading that I'm the most excited about. Mm-hmm. And one is Start With Your People by Brian Dixon. And it's a business book, but it's also about how he went from having this very like business driven mindset to realizing that his business would thrive better if he focused on the people first instead of the numbers and the projects and stuff.
Yeah.
And how he kind of went through that transformation himself. So that is interesting. And then Rhythms of Renewal by Rebecca Lyons. I think just looks, I've only flipped through this one so far, but it looks amazing and it's not too terribly long, which always excites me.
Especially when you have big stack.
Yes.
You're plowing through.
And nonfiction always takes me longer to read. And so when it's like a little bit shorter, but like packed with good stuff, and that always makes me think too, like, okay, they weren't superfluous with their words to just try to make a longer book. So I'm really looking forward to reading. And I think there's a bit of like a workbook aspect to that book too that I'm looking forward to. Ladies, as many of you know, in Patreon this month, we have actually been talking about getting ready for back to school while keeping your sanity intact. And this week, when we have been walking through that process, we've been talking all about meal planning. Yes, an entire week on meal planning. And a lot of that meal planning has been focused on using Plan to Eat, because I've been using Plan to Eat personally for 5 years now. There is no better program out there for planning your meals, especially if you want to be using your own recipes, things that you already know and love. They're super easy to just be able to download straight into the program from the internet or put in by hand. That way you know that all your meals fit your dietary restrictions and the things that your family actually knows and likes and eats. But it has so many features that are so incredibly well thought out. As I have been talking about it with all the women in Patreon this past week, they have been amazed to see everything that it does. You can create entire menus that you can repeat over and over again throughout the year, so you don't have to keep doing the work of thinking of how to plan your meals. You can put in prep notes so that they automatically show up and they populate over to your Google Calendar, which is amazing. So it'll tell you the day before if you need to take meat out of the freezer or you need to get something ready in advance. It completely makes your shopping list for you, and it puts everything right in the stores that you already are shopping for those items at. It's brilliant. You just drag and drop your meals onto the calendar as you're doing your meal planning. Nothing could be simpler than that. And they have amazing customer service, so if you have any questions, they're going to help you get all of your bugs and kinks and whatever worked out. They even have a feature where you can be friends with other people within the site and share recipes and menus with each other. It's just so well done. It's so brilliant. And it is hands down the best thing that you can be doing for yourself to take decision fatigue off the table and help you to keep your sanity at the beginning of this school year. And really, you've got nothing to lose, because Plan to Eat is offering my listeners a 60-day free trial. You don't even have to put in your credit card. Normally, it's a subscription service and you pay $4.95 a month or $39 a year. That's only 75 cents a week. It is totally, totally worth it. But you can get this 60 days free to really be able to sink your teeth into it and see if it works for you. So you can just go to plantoeat.com/lovely, give it a try, see what you think. I want to know what you think. You can friend me on there. You can find me at Bold Turquoise, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a game changer for you. So that's plantoeat.com/lovely. And then this one, When to Walk Away by Gary Thomas.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really good, releasing in October.
Yeah.
And it's got chapters specifically on marriage, and it's got on friendship and like all these different things. But so far I've just read the introduction, but even at that, he admits how he didn't have a really clear picture of what like toxic people were like in the church. And he, you know, when people would come to him in his counseling ministry, he'd just be like, well, you just need to pray for them and you just need to, you know, be understanding and have grace and those kinds of things until he kind of was forced to have to confront like, oh, there's a different level of toxicity that's really like abusive that is happening to people. Yeah. And so I'm really looking forward to reading that all the way through.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be really good. I can't wait to read it as well. And I've read Sacred Marriage and Sacred Parenting, and I just love all of Gary Thomas's works. I have loved everything that he's written and that I've been able to read. So yeah, that one, we'll have to read it together.
Yes. And he's such a authority like on that topic specifically. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be really, really good. And then getting to talk to him about it is going to be amazing.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited for you to talk to him. That will be amazing.
Yeah. I think it'll be very healing.
Yeah. So, I know. I'm really thankful. Yeah. I feel like God's hand is all over that book, that conversation you're going to have just personally and just for all the other people that it's really going to minister to.
Yeah. Because I get that question all the time. Well, what resources do you recommend and what books do you read and how or do you recommend? And like, what did you read? How did you come to grips with things, especially in the church? Because it tends to be a lot harder for, and I don't like to use this word very often, but for victims of abuse in the church to get the kind of support that they need, because it's a very misunderstood thing. And a lot of times, even without intentionally doing it, the church sides with the abuser because the victim is the person to walk away. And so the person to walk away gets the finger pointed at them instead of the person who caused the walking away. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just so looking forward to being able to have a resource like this to be able to point people to, because I'm not like a, you know, proponent for divorce. I'm not like telling people to go out and get divorces and stuff. But if you are dealing with really big issues, I'm just looking forward to being able to have a really solid resource to say, hey, go read this, see if it resonates with you. You know, I can't speak into what your marriage looks like, but maybe this is something that would help you. So
I would love to read it with you.
Yeah. I think that would be really, really good. Really smart.
Let's do it.
Do you have any other books?
A couple nonfiction books.
Yes.
I read early this summer, Suffering is Never for Nothing, which was just published, and it was, it's actually by Elizabeth Elliot. Yeah. Oh, it is incredible. It is so, just a healing, comforting book to read. It just was such a comfort to me. It was actually a weekend of her speaking at a seminar that they took and transcribed her words into this book. So that's it's amazing. Her actual words, just not written.
Yeah.
And it is so, so good. Totally 5 stars recommendation from me on that one, for sure. And then right now we're reading our Bible study book, The Good and Beautiful God.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is like learning to fall in love with Jesus. Anyway, just talking about God's beauty and, how it draws us, and then God's goodness is holds us, and then his truth convinces us. So beauty, truth, and goodness, and focusing on our walk with God in light of those things. And like you always say on the show, beauty matters so much, and it matters so much in our relationship with God. So
Well, and I like how that book really focuses on like changing your thought patterns and the narrative that you're seeing and believing and that kind of thing, which is really helpful and good. And he's not like trite about any, like he definitely like addresses issues pretty head on with whatever doubts you're having or frustrations or like I have appreciated the way he does that.
I think he's very gentle and willing and allowing for people to struggle through, and that God is, his love is still there under all of that. And it always will be. So I'm really, it's the author, I don't know, maybe we didn't say yet, but it's James Brian Smith. And I am really loving it. So it's been really great to be able to be in a study together and discussing the chapters, and just the community around the book has made it that much more impactful. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that has definitely helped take it deeper and make you contemplate it more. And I really liked that.
Yeah. So that's what I've been reading.
Yeah.
That's what you've been reading.
We both have.
Good
stuff. Any other ones?
I think that's everything. Goodreads. I love Goodreads so much.
Yes.
For keeping track. And I wish now that when you'd ask how many books you read this summer, I would love to have done a count on that, but I'll have to go back and check. But it's such a great way to keep track of what people are reading, what you want to read, and what you have read.
Questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love being able to plug in what I've read and see my little ticker go up of how much I've read. It's been a rough year for reading for me, but I'm still I'm trying to focus more on the enjoying of it and not just the numbers.
Yes. So. Yes. And that is so important. And I've had so many years, McKinsey too, where I read nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of having a big reading.
Yeah, you are.
This has been the first in a long time that I can say like, I'm reading again, but yeah, it's good to get back to it. But there are some years that are so hard that just even emotionally, it's hard to even just open a book, you know?
Yeah.
And totally. I really, really understand that struggle. And I think if that's where you're at, then just give yourself a lot of grace. Read for enjoyment and for the joy that it brings you, not because you're trying to, get through a bunch of books.
Hit that number. Yes. I think if I didn't have the podcast, I think I would just fully sink into fiction at this point. But I have a podcast, so that's not really an option. But I'm glad that I'm trying to temper the nonfiction with fiction more. I think that's helpful.
Yeah. I know. I feel like we're coming from opposite spots, but it's so kind of funny because I really do gravitate towards nonfiction. But it's so good to lighten things up with some really good fiction. And I just love getting to hear about all these new books coming out from you first before they're even on the radar available. So
it's really
fun to hear what's coming.
Yeah. It's fun too, because I follow some other podcasts and different things. I feel like I've got my ear to the ground a little bit more than I ever did before, because I've got an idea probably more coming for this season 5 than ever before. I knew I've heard of that person mentioning they were working on something. So
I'm
gonna pencil in that I think that's gonna be coming and I wanna have that person on the show. So that's been fun to then when I get the proposals, there it is. So that's been exciting and crazy to see how far out publishers are now booking.
Yeah.
Have received bookings all the way through next May, which is just intense.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. That's far out. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm excited about a lot of the stuff coming out, and it does help me to be able to be a little bit pickier. But I keep thinking I'm going to just totally get away from having authors on the show and do more with just my friends and whatnot. But then I start seeing all these books coming out, and I'm like, I can't not. There's so many good things coming out and people that I want to talk to and topics that I want to talk about. And the books are such a great catalyst to be able to have really fun conversations. So.
Yeah. Oh, this next season. I mean, since I've gotten a sneak preview of what's coming, it's going to be amazing. Yeah. It's going to be the best season yet.
I'm super excited. Okay. So still talking sort of about entertainment, but shifting shows. What have you been watching?
Well, the same thing you have.
I know. I think I've been doing more watching than you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't know. Maybe we share a favorite though. A while back, so McKinsey had said, have you watched Victoria? And if you haven't, you have to watch it. And I thought, oh yeah, that sounds great. I need to do it. And I'd forgotten. And then at the beach last week, she's like, so have you started? Have you watched it? And I've totally forgotten too. So I've really gone through the whole first season in the last week, and I could not love it more. I made it through the first season.
So did you know the scene I was talking about?
Oh yeah.
Oh my word.
Yeah. Oh, I just love everything about it. I don't think I've ever loved a first season of any period drama as much as this. I can really say that.
So, so good. And then we even had there were inside jokes of things that I've been staying for a while. And it was so fun when she was like, I get it. Now I get it.
Finally.
Like, oh God, I don't have to explain
everything. Exactly.
Victoria and blah, blah, blah. But I love the transformation that happens with the characters in season 1. And it just is sweeping, and it's innocent, and it's sweet.
It is.
It's beautiful.
It's really lovely. It is so lovely. Everything about it.
I'm a huge, huge Victoria fan. So I love
it. Me too. I am so thankful that you reminded me too.
And then you watched a movie that you recommended to me, which was very sweet. And it has, what's her name? Jessica Brown Finley. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was so sweet. And
it was quirky and sweet. And,
Yeah. And
a really good pick me up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally. It wasn't super long. Yeah. The guy that's in it was in another show that I recently watched and a very kind of different character. So it was fun to see him in something totally different. Yeah. And yeah. So I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
But then you've been watching also.
What are you watching?
Well, you watched Corfu.
Oh, I did. Yeah. I got totally sidetracked with Victoria. So I did, I think, was that season 3 that I'm on? I watched a couple episodes and now I'm back to, yeah.
Yeah. Have you gotten to the episode yet where Sparrow is singing?
Your favorite one.
Oh my gosh.
I have not.
It's so funny. Yeah.
Victoria took me by storm. So
yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I love Corfu too. Not quite as much probably as Victoria, but I do love Corfu because I think that the acting choices are just so smart. Yeah. I mean, it's a great story, but if you actually sit back and just watch them as actors, I am just endlessly impressed every time, and even when they're in the background, like especially Larry, the choices that he makes and the faces that he makes, and like there is so much comedic value. He doesn't leave anything on the table. I just love it. I think they do such a good job.
Oh no, when you pointed that out to me, I totally saw it, but I wouldn't have seen it on my own. So your acting skills, of course, could pick up on that. But now I'm like, oh yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if it's probably because I grew up doing some film work and stuff like that, that I always think of it like from the other side of the camera too. Like having seen how things aren't how they appear. Like when I was in the movie that I was in, like there was this horse-drawn carriage that, you know, they are at the train station and the carriage takes them away. There were never any horses. It was just crew members who were hauling that sucker across the prairie, and you just never saw it, and they just added in the sound afterward, you know. And so I always am like curious about those kinds of things and like why they make the choices that they do. And I love thinking about it from that perspective. But I actually watched the 4th season, which you can't, it's very difficult to get a hold of.
Yes.
But
that's okay.
Yeah. But I watched it, and that was the final season. And that was just like tore my heart out, because the last episode of season 3, I felt like it was me. Like I was Louisa. Mm. And I just like, even I watched it a second time recently. Mm. And my boys were around and they were like, are you crying? Because I am not a crier. And I just, I'm like, yes, oh my gosh. It tears you up. But it's also because the show ends when they're going into World War II. Mm-hmm. And so that happened. Like, this is a true story. This is what really kind of became of things and how people's lives were just turned upside down as they were preparing for war. And so that part of it was like kind of jarring and just like, oh my word, like this, people literally had to put their lives on hold, especially in Europe, because of what was happening around them. And I think, you know, we all kind of need those reminders every once in a while, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's strange to think of the show ending there, because I mean, it must leave you hanging somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And so that's kind of heartbreaking, but they did a good job of it. But it's a heartbreaker. And then right now I'm watching the next season of Poldark, which I believe releases fairly soon. So I'm not watching it too far ahead of other people. So I'm watching Poldark, and then I'm finishing up the 3rd season of Handmaid's Tale, which I know some people are like, what are you talking about? I can't believe you watched that. But I'm going to say again, like, there's this weird amount of like that I can relate to it. And so it's almost like therapeutic for me to watch. Yeah. And then this one that I'm watching that is not fabulous, but now I'm kind of sucked in. And so I'm going to finish it. I know.
You're invested.
Yeah. I knew that Mindy Kaling's version of 4 Weddings and a Funeral was coming out on Hulu. I'd never watched the movie. So I went and watched the movie and was totally unimpressed with the movie. I felt like it was a poor man's Notting Hill. Like they made that movie and then they're like, wait, let's change a couple of things and amp up the cast and amp up the acting and try again with Hugh Grant. And they did Notting Hill, and then Notting Hill is fabulous. So I felt like it just, the story wasn't like great. I felt like it was choppy. I felt like there was some bad acting. And yet here I am watching Mindy Kaling's version, because I was curious. But I feel like the same way, because it's not the same story at all. Basically, the only thing they kept the same was that there's like a group of friends in London and somebody dies. But that's really all they kept the same. Everything else is completely different. And I like all the characters except for one, the lead character. I think she's a terrible actress and it kills me. Every time I sit there going, this is the choice you should have made when you said that line. So I'm like hypercritical, but I like everybody else. And now I'm like invested enough that I want I'll keep watching, but it's not,
okay.
I wouldn't like recommend like, oh, you just have nothing else to watch. You know, it's not going to be your best option out there. Right. It's just something to watch.
Not everything can be 5 stars.
Right? It's true. It's true. Yeah.
These days, a lot of workplaces offer some pretty nice perks. A snack station, 15 flavors of soda water, even insurance. But while it's nice to have a handful of trail mix and some water that tastes faintly of pamplemousse, that's not enough to subsist on. And neither is your or your spouse's workplace life insurance. This is where Policy Genius comes in. Policy Genius is the easy way to shop for life insurance online. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find the right amount of coverage at the best possible price. The Policy Genius team can even look at your workplace life insurance policy and help you decide what else you might need and what you don't. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home insurance, auto insurance, and disability insurance. I've been to their website and walked through the process to try to find the best products and services for myself. It's such a great website. It's so user-friendly and very easy to work with, and I love that they're not going to hound you afterward. You can just find the information that you need and the assurance that nobody's going to be calling you and bugging you and trying to sell you something. They just have a great service that allows you to get a good handle on what you need and offer you those products and services without driving you crazy, but helping you get the coverage that we all could honestly use. So remember, workplace life insurance policies are like workplace snacks. Better than nothing, but not quite enough. Head to policygenius.com today and find out how to supplement your or your spouse's workplace life insurance and better protect your family. Policy Genius. It's like a buffet made of life insurance. And what could be more delicious than that?
Have you been watching anything else, or is that that's?
I have not. You know what? That's a lot for me.
I know.
You really got me. And I mean, and that's the thing. I find myself with shows, unless I have a good recommendation, which all of the ones I listed were recommended to me by people that I love their taste. So, that's it.
And I think I watch a lot more variety, but then I think that it gives me the ability to be like, okay, this is what you'll like, and this is what you'll like, because I've watched all these other random things. Okay, well, I know we were going to talk kind of quickly about our food situations, our menus and things we've been doing to try to make it easier on ourselves. Uh-huh. I know you have specifically something you've been doing a lot to make it easier.
Yeah, simplify. I feel like probably since Willa, menu is just so simple. But yeah, this summer, we just have been probably getting really tired of the same 5 things over and over, And sometimes I try and at least spread it out a little bit or whatever. But just having spaghetti as one of those things has been I think everyone was a little over it. But so when my friend Leslie came to visit, which is so amazing that you got to meet her, and we shared this dinner
together. Yes.
She made for me when I was down with a migraine and not feeling well at all. So she has got me on this kick, and it's just so easy. You don't need a recipe for it, but just make whatever type of pasta you love best, and then add pesto to it. And I just get either Trader Joe's pesto or from Costco. I throw that in there, and then I cook up sausage with, I've even used the Adele's bacon and what is it? Pineapple from Costco. Yeah. So good with onions and then Parmesan cheese, and it's one pot, and it's so good. And
summary. And so we haven't gotten tired of that one yet. And soon it's going to be soup season. So we'll switch over to soup soon. But
I can't wait
now,
for that.
That's been like, a big,
yeah.
Go ahead.
But, oh, I was going to say, I feel like soup season just makes life easier.
Oh, so much easier.
Yeah.
Yes. Me too. I'm with you.
I am making that recipe tomorrow for my kids.
Oh, good.
Yes. I bought the stuff. I was like, yes, that is simple and everybody will generally eat it. Yeah. And so that is definitely what we are doing for sure.
Good. Yeah. It's so easy.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of breakfast for dinner, like toast and hash browns and stuff. And
no one complains when you make French toast and hash browns for dinner.
I really don't. Chicken or whatever, like it's, or a quiche, like any of those kinds of things have just been. And I've been doing like a lot of sandwiches or charcuterie kinds of things.
Yes, cold plates. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We call it our house same.
Yeah. And especially for lunches, I've been doing a lot of that. But the thing that saved me this week when my kids were just like hungry all the time was I made two dips at the beginning of the week. I made like just a really basic ham and pineapple with cream cheese dip. And then I made a clam dip. And I had different pretzels and chips and crackers and stuff. And so when they'd be like, I'm hungry, I'd be like, go get some dip.
That's so, so smart. And it does go a long ways.
It really
does. And I love the idea of changing out what you're dipping in there to make it like new and fresh and different.
You can even do veggies or whatever. And and it's got some protein, so it kind of keeps them full a little bit longer. Yeah. And these dips have lasted us all week. Like we're going to finish out the week with it. And that's been really nice. And I didn't feel like I was buying so many different snack foods too.
Yes.
To keep them full, because that was just breaking the bank. So.
Oh my goodness. It can just be a bottomless pit of pulling money down to the snack hole, the snack gods. And it's gone before you're home almost.
So, yes, I know. It's like you buy a box of applesauce and granola bars and within a day, I'm like, what happened to all the applesauce and granola bars? It's gone.
I know. Yeah. Same story at our house.
So I just bought less of that stuff this past week and did more with like the dips and stuff, and it's worked. Yeah. I haven't been complaining. And so,
grateful. My favorite dip that I've been doing a lot for the summer, especially like on football nights where we're outside and we eat dinner on the run, is a 7-layer bean dip. And so, so I just do like a layer, I make it in a casserole dish and it's easy to transport because it's all in one, but just refried beans. And then you do like your guacamole, however you make that or buy it pre-made. And then there's a layer of like sour cream with lemon in it. And then you just put on your tomatoes and your cheese and your olives and whatever you like,
you know,
as far as toppings go. But that's my go-to summer dip right now.
That's a great idea. I need to do that one for sure. That's like a whole dinner, really. I
mean, yes, and it lasts for days. Like, that's the best part.
Yes. I love that. That's a good one. Okay. I know we both had a few like favorite, I would call them favorite finds, but mine aren't all finds. Some of them are like things I'm doing differently that I like too. But one of them that you actually tried when we were at the beach and I have absolutely loved is my Australian Gold Botanical Sunscreen. It's 50, it's for the face, and it is tinted. And
it's amazing.
And it goes on like, so it's a mineral sunscreen, so it's not got all the chemicals in it. It goes on so silky, it just like dries nicely. You don't feel chalky. You don't look all white.
Yeah.
With like my fair skin, it's not like so tinted that I'm like, oh, I just look like I put on fake tanner. You know, like I absolutely adore it. I'm going to go buy more before the end of the season so that I can have it through the winter, because I'll probably still use sunscreen. And I absolutely love it.
Well, I loved it too. And then Annabelle loved it. And my 13-year-old, she thought it was amazing. And so I need to get some for both of us.
And it little goes a long way. And it just, I've even been using it like on my shoulders and everything, because it's 50 and it just goes on so nicely and you don't feel like you just spray painted yourself white, which is nice.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I know. I feel like sunscreen is one of those things you're always looking for your favorite. And I've like always tried a different one until now. I've gotten a few favorites, but this one is like by far the best for faces ever.
Yeah, I absolutely love it.
Amazing find.
I know there's a lot of like more expensive ones that people swear by, but this one's been so great. Like, I don't even feel like I need to try the really expensive one.
No, I know.
Love this one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sold on it too.
Now, this is a really silly thing that I've been doing, but I am seeing a wonderful difference and I love it. So I'm
gonna... Oh, I can't wait to hear.
It's so dumb. But okay, I always, when I'm drying my hair, like I start by drying it with my head upside down. Uh-huh. And I've just been holding my head upside down for longer while I dry it.
I love it.
So dumb. But I've been drying my hair upside down till like it's almost all the way dry, and then just flipping it over and using a round brush to like curl my ends under.
Oh, wow. How long does that take?
I mean, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so the blood's rushing to your head, but
it's probably good actually for you. Circulation.
Yeah. And I, especially because my hair is getting a little bit longer now and I have super thick hair. And so it tends to like drag down pretty easily. And this has been like the trick to getting more volume and volume that will stay longer. So I just like, I really focus the hair dryer like at my roots as I'm drying and then just kind of like work my way out. And I feel like it's making a difference. I mean, I use some product too, but I feel like it's the hanging the head upside down. It's really taking it over the edge.
I love that. That's great. Random. I'm going to try it tomorrow morning.
Yes.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Thank you. Yes. I want to hear a full report. Hopefully you don't pass out when you stand.
Oh no, I won't.
Did you have a favorite thing? I feel like we talked about something.
Well, I have a favorite drink this summer. I haven't gone to any Starbucks or anywhere in the summertime, I do love iced drinks. Like I will drink hot coffee or tea all winter long, but in the summer I love things iced. So
yeah.
Trader Joe's has this most amazing chai concentrate that is so good. So I have been making myself iced chais every once in a while, and they're my favorite thing this summer that I found for a treat. So yeah, I'm hooked on those.
Yeah, that sounds...
I mean, so much so that I'm pretty sure I bought 4 last time because I'm worried that they're seasonal. And then when I got to the checkout, the lady's like, oh no, these are here to stay. And I'm like, oh, I guess I don't need 4 then. Yeah. just to be safe.
Yeah, better be safe than sorry. That's a good... I'm glad you're covering your bases.
Covering my bases.
I think my only other like favorite thing right now is actually the morning show that we started
doing.
And, you know, I've done a morning show a lot in the past, but it's always kind of been hard to make happen again since then. And I was a little leery to do it because it requires me waking up a lot earlier, but I knew that I needed to get us like back in the groove for fall because I'm gonna have to be waking up earlier then. So I was like, well, I might start now, kind of like getting myself back into that groove. And, you know, when we would do the show before, it would be like a 30 minute, you know, between 20 and 30 minutes when I did the live like a few years ago. These episodes have been almost a full hour every morning.
Wow, Kim.
And like doing like a webinar every morning because we already like the entire month of topics was planned in advance and we're walking through all of these things to like get ready for back to school. People have had such great questions and there's been such great conversation. I'm loving doing it again. It's just been so fun. I feel energized when I'm done. I usually still have a little bit of time before my kids get up and I'm able to put in auditions and different things. It's just been such a fun, life-giving time. I'm absolutely loving doing it again. And I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I am.
Oh, I'm so glad. That makes me so happy to hear that. I just keep praying for you that your work is as life-giving as it can be, because I know you have a lot of work that you need to do as you're providing for your kids. And that is just such an answer to prayer whenever I hear like that the work that you're doing, you're finding joy in it.
Yeah, because I've gone through some times, especially this summer, I think with like some heightened stress over things and, you know, work being slower too, where, and having my kids home and trying to juggle all of that it's just been really hard to like feel inspired and feel like I even know what to do. And so it's just been so encouraging this week to feel like, oh, like I feel on top of it again and I'm feeling motivated and inspired and like this is the direction we're headed in. And so that's been really refreshing to be getting back to that place again.
Yeah, and that's a huge answer to prayer for your dear friends who love you and are praying that over you in your life right now. So
I so appreciate it.
Well, you have a small army of people who just love you to death. And we are here through thick and thin for you and just praying for that. Exactly. So that is such a good report.
Yeah. I love hearing that, like, those are the things you guys have prayed for, and it makes a difference in a hard season. But not to get all serious. Okay. We've got just a couple of topics left and then we'll wrap this up, because I think we've been going for a while here. I've totally lost track of how much time we've been talking. But what have you been listening to?
Oh, listening. Okay. I think that when I was thinking about what I've been listening to this summer, my favorite song that my kids are so sick of it because they play it all the time. And they're so tired of it, but they have their songs they play all the time. But I'm sick of it too. So, but it's called Extraordinary Magic by Ben Rector. And I do a lot of Spotify. Mm-hmm. That's where my music is at. And I love making Spotify playlists for different seasons. And so, that is definitely was a favorite this summer for me. And then as far as, like, I know I've told you this, I'm such a nerd, but I love listening to sermons.
Yeah.
I would probably choose to I just have always loved sermons. I don't know. I would probably choose to listen to sermons. I have my favorites, I guess, like people listen to podcasts. I listen to sermons. So I have like the circuit. But there's one this summer that I've listened to probably 3 times now, and I've made everyone that I know, I've tried to make them listen to it.
I know. I still need to. I'm so bad.
Okay. I know. No, it's okay. I'm done bugging you about it now, but I'm sure I'm moving on to something else. But it's called When the Battle Chooses You, and it's by Stephen Furtick of Elevation Church. And it just was such an encouraging, like, word from God to me, and not just for me personally, but for people in my life that are just going through really hard things. And just gives me hope for them. And so anyway, those are my things that I'm listening to. How about you?
Well, I mean, I've been doing my regular podcast rotation. Yeah. And that's mostly been, I think, like 4 podcasts this summer that I've been listening to more so than others. I mean, okay, 5, because it's always The Wally Show. My kids love The Wally Show. We just, we always just listen. If the kids are in the car, we're either listening to our music, which I'll talk about in a second, or it's The Wally Show. But if it's just me and I'm listening to something like while I'm getting ready in the morning or something like that, it's usually The Popcast, The Big Boo Cast, Gold Digger, which is a newer one in the last couple of months, but has been really good for like motivation for my business and ideas. And And then this one, okay, so there's a little bit of language. You got to be aware of that. But it's Fat Mascara, and it's beauty podcast, and it's two gals, and they have on people from the beauty industry, and they talk about new products and all kinds of different things. It's the one that I told you had the whole episode on, like, Ayurveda and all of that. Like, it's got some really interesting guests and people that I wouldn't hear on, like, every other show.
Right, yeah.
And so I've been enjoying that kind of more nichified podcast. But then we're still, I mean, it's been years now, but we're on the same kick of music that we've been on forever. And we just rotate through it. And when we've when we've gone out to the beach, we like road trip with our music and we all rock out and we all sing to it and we dance in the car. And I've actually had so much fun doing that. And so it's always either The Greatest Showman, which The Greatest Showman is the exact amount of time that it takes us to get to Coeur d'Alene Lake. It just wraps up like right
when we're fighting. That's such a better way to think about it than like the amount of actual minutes.
And then Hamilton, the first act of Hamilton will get up to Coeur d'Alene almost exactly. And of course, Nobody At Me. It's the first act of Hamilton if we skip the songs that have profanity. That's what it takes to get us there. Or there's certain songs that have profanity that we just know, like we flip the volume back, you know, like down and then back up.
Yeah.
A couple of words because the rest of the song's good.
Right.
And then the one that I've probably been listening to more than any other is... Oh, now it's, why is this happening to me? Why can't I remember? A Star is Born.
That's Which I still haven't watched that. You told me to watch that. Yeah. I haven't done it yet.
It's intense, but it's good. Yes. And the soundtrack is just amazing. And so we either always listen to like the first half of the soundtrack or the last half. Because they have actually, some of the tracks are the lines from the show. Mm-hmm. Like they will just, because it leads into the song. And so they give the song context on the soundtrack, which I love.
Yes.
And there's just these couple of lines that he says to her that just like melt me every time he says them. And it's like, you know, all you got to do is trust me. And like, and then she gets out on the stage and she does like her performance that he was like, you know, you can do it. I'm here for you kind of a thing. And I just love that. And then there's this interaction where he tells her that he loves her and like to go perform this song this certain way. And then she performs the song. And so every time I like, I always make my kids listen to the lines before we listen to the song. But I typically start it like right before Shallow, which is like the middle of the soundtrack. And then we finish out the end of the soundtrack. And especially for me, like singing is a huge like stress reliever for me.
Yes. Yeah.
It literally like calms my heart down. Mm-hmm. And like I have a physiological response when I can just belt something.
Yes.
And so that has been a big thing for me this summer.
Yeah. Singing is therapeutic for you. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
That's been my thing. Yeah.
I love that. I know Annabelle loves having that phone in the car, and then we have a lot of our favorite playlists downloaded, but we definitely have an in the car one that we flick through and it's got all sorts of good stuff on it.
I love that.
She loves being in charge of what we're listening to.
But did you guys have something when you were driving to the beach?
Oh, no. Driving to the beach music is such a fun summer memory.
Like, yeah. Oh, it totally is. I felt like we made the day a memory from the moment we left the house to the moment we got back, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
we didn't waste any of it. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it was fun.
Music is so powerful. Annabelle was telling me when we were on the way the other day that she remembered a song. I'm trying to think of what song it was now. I think it was something that had come up on her Spotify playlist, but she's like, Mom, I remember listening to this song when we lived in Black Diamond, which was when she was 3.
Wow.
And I'm just like, how she has amazing memory. Like music is so powerful of how it can take you back in time, you know?
Totally.
So I love that.
Yeah. These songs have definitely like shaped my kids' lives.
Yes.
For the last.
And I love that you guys are still going with them as strong. And you know, no one's tired of them yet. They're just too good to get tired of.
I know. It's pretty crazy that they are still like as ingrained in our family. You would think we would totally be sick of it. But I think it's also maybe like part of the musical theater person. Uh-huh. Like when I was growing up, we listened to our shows, like our musical theater shows over and over and over again. And it's been fun because there's been a few nights where I'll basically like do a concert of my best hits. The girls
just love it. Asleep,
and it's like everything from Les Mis to Miss Saigon to A Walk to Remember, like all these different songs. Yeah. And yeah, it's been really fun. So
I love that.
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Like all these random things. I'm like, I'm giving you culture. There you go.
There. Oh, I know. And they don't even know how lucky they are to have a mom who can sing for them. All of those. That's really special.
Yeah, it's fun. And it was funny too, because, you know, I've put it a little bit on Instagram here and there. And we had Eliza, a friend of ours, who is also 7 years old, my daughter's stay the night. And as I was putting them to bed, she goes, "Are you going to sing for us?" And I was like, I don't know. She was like, "I really want you to sing for us."
I love that.
Because I've seen you on Instagram and I really think
she's not gonna let you get
away. She's like, "I know you sing every night, and so I want to be a part of this." I was just cracking up. I was like, "Okay,
that's too good."
I mean, she's 7. The fact that she'd seen it on Instagram, like, I know what's going on here. I was cracking up. Well, anyway, that's are all of our favorites. All the things.
That's our favorites.
Reading and watching and and eating. And so hopefully that gave you ladies some ideas as you are wrapping up your summer and making the most of the sweet little moments that we have left. And we'd love to hear your ideas too. So make sure you leave them in the comments or get a hold of us on the Facebook page or anything like that. We would love to hear them. And hey, if you're not in Patreon yet and you want to be a part of the morning show, come get in for just $3 and be a part of the morning show. So that's like nothing. All right. Well, I guess that's it for today. I will talk to you soon, Shell.
Oh, love you so much, friend. This was so fun. Do it again soon, okay?
You will next week.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. All right. that's it for not only this episode, but for the entirety of season 4, you guys, we made it. We did all 4 seasons. We're launching season 5 next week. Shell will actually be back on the show next week talking about all the changes with me. We're going to flip the script a little bit, and she is going to interview me for the beginning of the year, which should be a lot of fun. We're going to be releasing YouTube videos soon. We're going to be doing more on Instagram. There's all kinds of things that are happening. So be sure to stay tuned, get involved, follow on social media. Find me at Mackenzie Kappa on Instagram, patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely. We want to have you be a part of this tribe because it's an amazing tribe of women. Also, if you haven't already, we are so close to that 500 reviews on iTunes. If you want to just hop over to the iTunes store or in your podcasting app and leave a really quick rating and review for the podcast of just like a solidarity showing your support thing at the end of season 4, I would be so, so grateful for you doing that. It just has to be a quick one-line thing. Tap on that 5-star review. It would be awesome, especially as we're launching season 5 to just be getting things off the ground, out of the gate, the best possible way that we can. Share about it with your friends. Share on social media. If you share on Instagram, I will make sure to check it out and reshare it to my channel and my IG stories. So that's what we've got going on there. Thank you to all of you who do that. If you want the show notes for this episode, go to boldturquoise.com/129. That's where you can find everything that we talked about today. And until next week, when we launch season 5, go be bold and gracious.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.